Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's the bread of life. And I pray, Lord, that as your servant speaks this morning, that these words would come alive to each and every heart in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this series that I've been in for the past 2 months is Preachable Proverbs. And there's a reason for that, since much of Proverbs isn't exactly preachable. It's not as preachable as other portions. My sermons to this point have been from extended passages or groupings of scriptures in Proverbs that can be made into a sermon, maybe from just a few verses. Now, the Oxford Dictionary defines a proverb as a short, pithy saying in general use, stating a general piece, a general truth, or a piece of advice. And that's what most of the book of Proverbs is. It's wise sayings that can be said in one or two lines, like my scripture that I'm using today. It's in couplets, two-line sayings. And you'll notice that my text for this morning is chapters 10 through 13. And you can be relieved to know that I'm not preaching through four chapters, okay? Instead, I'm taking a verse here and a verse there from snippets of wisdom that constitute these chapters as I delve into the idea of discipline and discipleship and disciples. Now, there are a number of verses here that I've chosen. One from chapter 10, two from chapter 11, one from chapter 12, and four from chapter 13. As you might expect, they follow a similar theme: the wisdom of discipline and the wisdom of having discipline in one's life and being a disciple by submitting to the discipleship of those wise people in our lives. And then how we become disciples by observing this. And so that's what my talk consists of today. So it's kind of brief. You can get a lot from these little couplets without my adding to it or embellishing it. In fact, you can't embellish it. But that's what my talk consists of today. So first, choices have profound results. The chapter 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. The first line is clear. I'm sorry, I picked up a cold this past week. It's not COVID. It's a cold. But sometimes, as you know, that affects me. The first line is clear here. A wise son brings joy to his parents, not just to his father, but to his mother. They marvel at his sensible life, and they gain great satisfaction from seeing how he or she has incorporated their teaching into their life. It helps. Now, if that parent is actually giving wise counsel, okay, that helps. And so that means that we parents need to be here. We need to be in the scripture. The other night in worship design team meeting, we were talking about the need for preparation for Sunday morning. As you get ready for Sunday morning worship, it's good to be here in the Word, preparing yourself for worship the entire week as you come in, and you get wisdom from there for teaching your children as well. The Hebrew word, going to that second line of the couplet, the Hebrew word from which the word foolish is derived in, there in that second part, is very telling. In fact, many translations simply, instead of using the word foolish, render it as stupid. Now, we teach our little ones not to use that word. Oh, Dad, you said stupid. Papa, you said stupid. We teach them not to say that because it's so denigrating. But the writer of Proverbs doesn't mince words, since the meaning of the word is actually deeper and stronger than the mere word stupid. You see, it means one who is insensible to moral truth and acts without regard to it. So it's even stronger than that. This foolish child is a wild child and is deaf to wisdom and only driven by his or her desires. This kid lacks discipline. The wise choice is to make a glad father and mother. A foolish choice brings heartache. The next proverb is a national admonition, and it helps us to be good citizens while we walk this earth. Many counselors is good. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there's safety. This is good wisdom for life. This is good wisdom for us to apply, period, to our own lives. But it seems that this proverb is designed for the people of God as they live out their earthly citizenship. This saying about the need for wise guidance in government and the need for taking extensive advice would have been especially relevant soon after Solomon's death. Solomon, who wrote most of Proverbs, died, and after he died, his kingdom was torn from top to bottom. As a matter of fact, in 1 Kings 12, and also recorded in 1 Chronicles 10, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, completely disregarded the advice of wise counselors and listened instead to his hot-headed young Turk friends, who gave him destructive advice, and that tore Israel and Judah apart. In fact, the prophet who gave him the word literally used it as an illustration and took a coat and tore it like that and said, your country's going to be torn one from the other. It became 10 tribes of one and 2 tribes of another, and it became 2 countries. It was a terrible rendering of the country. This is true for anyone, but we need to make sure that we pray regularly for our government officials to seek wisdom from a variety of sources. We've seen our country ripped open because our leaders refuse to make wise decisions and seek counsel. It's the truth. Where there's no guidance, the people will fall. If we all seek our own way, we cannot succeed as a people. We're witnessing this in our country. We're seeing people not listening at all to the other side. We're seeing each side going one way or the other. My way is the only way. What do the polls say? Let's go with that. Seek wise counsel, and there's wise counsel on both sides. In fact, don't listen to CNN. Don't listen to Fox. Pray. Read the word. But there's hope. If you diligently seek good, you will find it. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. A disciple seeks good, and the opposite is true. If you look for evil, you will find it. One commentator and several translators rendered it this way: those who seek good will find God's favor. Those who look will find who look for trouble will find more of it than they bargained for. Let me point something out here. How about we treat others with the wisdom of this proverb? How about we look for good in others? Or at least try to catch them doing something right. How about that? How about, instead of looking at somebody who's messed up in the past and say, oh, let's just watch them because they're going to mess up for sure. Instead, be surprised, be pleasantly surprised when they do something right and realize that maybe there's potential there. Too often we look for negative in others, and if we look, we will find the negative. But disciples build one another up. Diligently seek good and don't go looking for bad. There's enough that just comes up without us looking for it. And that means we need to take a look at ourselves with a careful eye and seek knowledge. Now, this is similar to that national council that we saw in that previous verse, but this is more personal. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. There's that word again. It comes down to this. Disciples are lifelong learners. The wise person is very intent on self-criticism. We look at ourselves and look, where can I grow? Where can I improve? Now, self-criticism doesn't mean beating yourself up. Instead, this wise person knows what he or she is capable of and is careful to take the wise path. One commentator points out that this person has an intimate awareness of the ways of life ordained by God and must show a desire for correction and criticism if what he says is to be taken seriously. One's love of knowledge is no greater than one's love of correction. One's love of knowledge is no greater than one's love of correction. And the opposite is true. The word stupid comes up here again. Only this time, it's a Hebrew word that means that this one who does not like reproof is no better than a dumb animal. That's the word picture that comes from the Hebrew. And the truth is, a wise person listens. A wise person listens. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. We've been given two ears and only one mouth. We need to listen. The scoffer puts his fingers in his ears and goes, wah, 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 wah. I don't want to hear it. That's a scoffer. But a wise person listens, which moves us right on to the next one. The instruction of the wise is refreshing and revitalizing. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. When you've spent time with a wise person, you come away, actually, you don't know where the time goes, and you come away knowing that you have spent a time being revitalized. Butchering a pig can be a tedious job, but a couple of times I butchered deer and pigs with Luke Kiefer, and I don't know where the time went. In fact, I just had to ask him if he wasn't already talking about something else. I just had to ask him a question about this subject or that subject, and that would just take care of the day. And it was revitalizing and replenishing. I was with a wise person, and I was better for it. What a blessing. Attach yourself to a wise teacher. Ask questions. Be refreshed by new knowledge, because it's life-giving. It's life-giving. But notice that the opposite is true. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. If you ignore wisdom, you will pay dearly. Listen to wise counsel and be prepared to take critique. Even if it's coming from a critical spirit, you can learn from it, because some people, you hear from someone, you think, oh, well, this is not going to be easy, okay? But there's something you can learn from that person, even if they have a critical spirit. The one who builds on constructive criticism will grow. The one who ignores guidance will end up in the poorhouse. And then finally here, discipline comes from love. Discipline comes from love. This is a passage that has been much maligned and abused. Here it is. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Either this one is underapplied or it's overapplied too often. Either it's overdone or it's underdone. People don't like the idea of a rod, okay? A rod, I picture a rod being a pretty big dowel stick, okay? That should only be used for the back of a deacon's bench, okay? Not for the back of a kid, okay? So it's the word that the writer used. People don't like the idea of a rod and the picture of abusive corporal punishment, so they don't discipline at all. So discipline is underapplied, and kids run wild. It goes back to that first one that I talked about. You don't want to have a wild child. They need discipline. But the opposite is true. When a parent sees what they interpret as a biblical green light to beat their child, beating a child is sin. It's wrong. You know children like this. I was this child, and it's not good, and it doesn't work. Here's the truth. Discipline is teaching that is derived from love. A loving parent will not ignore their misbehaving child or beat them mercilessly. Love is the key. Diligence is the key as well. A loving parent will design a discipline that will teach their child the way. Each child is different. Each child is different because discipline is not a one-size-fits-all matter. The key is love. Our discipline for Sheila was different for was different from what we did for Emily. Sheila needed a bullhorn. Emily needed just the look. Every kid is different. And look how they turned out. No, I'm not going to say anything more. I'm already going to be in trouble for that one because at least one of them heard it. So now, this sermon has been much like the book of Proverbs. It's been here and there and everywhere. But the point is clear. As we practice discipline in our own life and in the lives of the ones we love, we are practicing discipline with the end result that we build disciples and that we are also built as disciples ourselves. And that's the way we are all disciples. Amen? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. And remember that the prayer corner is always available. I've been neglecting to remind folks of that. So let's stand and pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word, which does not return void. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of the Bible, and for the wisdom of Solomon and other wise people.